You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money Markets podcast for this Monday, the 29th of December, 2025, a day where the Australian share market fell. The S&P ASX 200 off by 0.4%, 8,725. 10 of the 11 sectors on the index finished lower. Information technology, the worst, down by about 1%, followed by energy. The only sector to do well, healthcare, up by 0.2%. Of the best and worst performers today, the best performers included South 32, up by around about 2%. Block, the buy now, pay later company, which owns Afterpay, up by 2%, along with Zip, the other buy now, pay later company, up by 2% too. Worst performers include Netwealth Group, down by 6%, DroneShield off by around 5%, and Helia off by 4%. To tell us more about the day's market action and where he sees the investment themes for 2026, I spoke with Hugh Lamb, investment strategist at BetaShares. What exactly is driving sentiment on the markets at the moment?
Yeah, thanks, Ricardo. Yeah, definitely a quieter time of the year. And, you know, it's probably worth keeping in mind that a lot of the price action that we're seeing right now is, you know, probably a lot more mechanical in nature and tends to be driven by things like rebalancing and systematic flows. You know, there really isn't much macro news coming out. Liquidity tends to be quite thin. But that said, you know, if we look at how markets have been trading recently, it does appear sentiment is looking quite optimistic. You know, the S&P 500 has reclaimed fresh all-time highs. Credit spreads remain tight. Commodity prices, whether that's gold, silver, copper, have all run extremely hard. And that's all in the face of falling volatility as measured by the VIX index, which recently had a spike last month following fears of an AI bubble. So, you know, all of that has left markets in, I'd say, healthy spirits and is probably leaning towards a Santa rally mindset. But yeah, with those dynamics in play, I think that investors are not likely to add more risk aggressively into year end. And, you know, we'll probably see a lot more consolidation over the next few days. That said, you know, we do have Fed minutes coming up later this week. So we'll be looking for, you know, any outside surprises there that might cause bigger moves in markets.
You mentioned commodities there, especially those precious metals like gold, silver, copper, really a standout this year. What's your take on them? And does that rally still have legs? Because I think they all, or at least gold and silver anyway, did hit records over the weekend too.
Yeah, that's right. Commodities have been an extremely interesting asset class this year. And as we mentioned, they have run pretty hard. And I think that's a reflection of what we're seeing on the macro front. So if we think about what's happened this year, sort of policy uncertainty in the US and looser monetary policy, that is the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates, have really weighed on the US dollar and real interest rates. And that tends to be quite supportive of commodity prices. But there are other factors as well. You know, such as continued geopolitical risk, particularly in the Middle East, and more favorable, you know, demand supply dynamics, which are pushing these metals up. You know, if we think about gold, you know, we've been quite constructive of gold for quite some time. It's had a very stellar year again, up 70% this year. And that's really kicked off in 2022 when we saw the US seize Russian assets. And it really showed the world that you can't really rely on fiat currency. And that really drove demand for hard assets, primarily gold. And again, that has been a very strong hedge for more traditional stock and bond portfolios. Silver is another metal that you've mentioned that has gained a lot more attention recently, up 160% this year. So very, very crazy moves that we're seeing in that metal. Again, very similar dynamics, but it has benefited from the extra kick from what we're seeing from an industrial use perspective. So think of the solar panel industry and electric vehicles. They have been quite dominant sources of silver demand. Together, they probably account for roughly 20 to 25% of total silver demand. So silver has really kicked off, and finally, copper has been a direct beneficiary, really, of what we're seeing in the electric vehicle and AI data center build out. So that has really been a key beneficiary for copper. But, you know, overall, I think that, you know, there's probably still legs for these metals to run, given we don't really expect central bank buying to slow. Geopolitical risk is likely to remain in markets for some time, but we probably do expect that returns to be a lot more modest heading into the next year with some level of volatility. It is also worth mentioning that now price and positioning is quite crowded in these metals. So we're looking for factors that might see or drive a strong pullback in the prices of these metals. And that's things like a stronger US dollar, fewer than expected rate cuts, and de-escalation in geopolitical tensions as well.
You mentioned AI briefly there earlier. We know that's one of the key themes we saw in 2025. If you get your crystal ball out, what do you see as the key themes of 2026?
Yeah, so you touched on it, Ricardo. AI is definitely a massive theme that we're looking at heading into 2026. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, there have been tensions and concerns of an AI bubble forming towards the last quarter of 2025. And that's really been driven by a few things: elevated valuation levels, concerns about circular financing deals as well. And the billions of dollars of CapEx spending to build out these data centers, can these companies actually make a return on these investments? So these are all key concerns on investors' minds heading into the next year. And it's rightfully so, just given the weight of the Magnificent Seven companies, the likes of Nvidia, Apple, Microsoft, et cetera, in investor portfolio. So naturally, we want to know where the AI bubble is heading. It's very hard to make a simple yes or no conclusion, but what we're looking for at least is, whether there's going to be continued CapEx spending that's going to support the likes of Nvidia. We're also looking for healthy fundamentals to continue supporting growth in a consistent organic manner, and also just broader AI adoption trends as well, whether more enterprises are actually incorporating AI into those businesses. I think more broadly as well, we're looking at the health of the US economy, just given how important US tech and AI-related investments have propped up the economy so far. If we strip that out, it still looks like the US economy is growing. That's because consumer spending, at least at the top end of town, is still quite strong. But underneath the surface, it looks like there are some weaknesses in the labor market. And so we're paying attention to whether there may be any further cracks along the way heading into next year. And of course, finally, we're looking at what a new Fed chair might mean for markets next year. Concerns around Fed independence could compromise or weigh on the US dollar. And if that occurs, as I mentioned before, that's going to bode well for commodities. And also equity markets domiciled outside of the US, particularly emerging markets, they tend to perform quite well in a weaker US dollar environment. So I'd say those are probably the key themes that we're looking for in 2026. And although we are entering into a second year of Trump, volatility is probably going to remain elevated given it's a midterm year. But what I would stress to investors is of course to remain diversified to protect your portfolios from any major drawdowns. So yeah, that's probably some key themes we're looking for in 2026.
That is Hugh Lamb there, investment strategist at Beta Shares. And he wraps up the podcast for this Monday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, give it a rating or review anywhere where you're listening or watching, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click subscribe and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.